Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Dang, is it Friday already? Welcome to the weekly wrap-up. So we're going to review the value bombs from the week in just a second, and I'm going to answer a question about extreme productivity. But first, huge thank you to all of you who have left reviews up on iTunes or Stitcher. I'm trying to get to 100 reviews on iTunes because I think that's when they really start to recommend the show to new listeners. And I think we're around 70 right about now, so I could still use more help. And remember, when you leave a review on iTunes, just send me an email and let me know, and we will invite you. We'll send you a link into our private ambassador program on Facebook. We're giving away books every week. We're giving away electronic prizes. We're having special access to our authors and all kinds of other good stuff. So search for the LeadX Show up on iTunes, subscribe, leave a review, and then my email is kevin@leadx.org, LEADX.ORG. And hey, if I read your review on this podcast, well, we're definitely sending you some swag, like a LeadX t-shirt. And even though those t-shirts don't exist at the time of this recording, I am told by my team that they're going to be really cool. So, for example, Matthew Hunter 1 wrote in his iTunes review, "There are so many nuggets of information. If you put them in place, you are bound to surpass getting 1% better every day." Thanks, Matthew. A little bit better every day. That's our goal. Positively Lisa said, "Kevin has taken things to the next level." I'm definitely trying to amp it up, Lisa. And S. Aikida, I don't know exactly what the name is, says, "Great way to learn on a commute." And that's, boy, this is really the goal of the program. I heard that the average commute in the United States is 24 minutes each way. So I try to keep these episodes right around the 20 minutes, 25 minute mark so that you can get one episode in on your drive to work, on your commute to work, or your commute home. So hey, before I get to our reader question of the week, let me highlight the amazing guests we had earlier over the last 4 days. I mean, it was a great lineup. We had Jeff Sanders. He is the author of The 5 a.m. Miracle, Dominate Your Day Before Breakfast. All around this idea of get up a little bit earlier than you're getting up now and just make that first hour of power, your non-negotiable time for yourself. And Jeff was quick to say, look, it doesn't have to be 5 a.m. I mean, I actually know some people, not me, who get up at 4 a.m. every day to get this hour of power in. But it's just, you know, whether your number is 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. or 7 a.m., the idea is to get up a little bit earlier than you are now so that you can invest in yourself first. And he says the real key is it starts the night before. You know, you might need to go to sleep at 9 p.m. to get up at 5. To me, you know, I got 3 kids still. That's not going to happen. But I do set a nighttime alarm before any day that I just, you know, I know that I really need to win the day. I need to wake up early. I need to be alert. I need to be clear. I need to be productive. I will set an alarm probably around 10 p.m. to get the coffee maker ready and set out my vitamins and protein shake and to yell at all the kids and cats to keep it down because dad's going to sleep and all that good stuff. So it's about evening boundaries. And when it comes to that sleep, remember what I always say, it's about quality sleep, not always quantity. Would it be great for everybody to get 8 hours of sleep of night or 9 hours? Yeah, it would, but that's not realistic for many of us. But more important than the number of hours is the quality. Are you getting all of your sleep cycles in? So that's when you've got to keep it, you know, quiet and comfortable temperature and make sure you're not getting, you know, waking up multiple times in the middle of the night. Hey, Jeff gave us a challenge. His daily challenge was to drink more water. And we've heard this from others. Sean Stevenson's famous for calling that the inner bath. You wake up and give yourself an inner bath by guzzling a bunch of cold water. Good research says that's going to wake you up more than a good hot cup of coffee will. And I talk about half you hydration. What do you weigh? divide that in half, and that's the number of ounces of water. We're talking about pounds, that is. So if I weigh 160 pounds, divide that in half, that's 80. That means I should be drinking 80 ounces of water a day. That's a lot of water, but you'll have more energy, more focus, more clarity. So I really enjoyed having Jeff on. We then had Evan Carmichael, very motivational entrepreneur. He's the author of Your One Word. And he says, your life will change. You will hit new highs when you figure out what your one word is, your one word that really captures what you're all about, your number one value. His word, for example, is believe. And he does all this educational stuff for entrepreneurs. He could have had many, obviously, different words, but to him, it all starts with belief. And entrepreneurs need to believe. And he's trying to help people to believe it's possible. So that's his word. Now, I actually have a word as well. I've had it before Evan came on the show. I didn't always have one, but I had lunch a couple years ago with Ken Blanchard, the famous leadership guru. And he talked to me about, I was interviewing him, I was grilling him about his morning routine. And one of the things he does is he said, is, you know, while he's on his exercise bike, you know, he will read every day, you know, his personal mission statement. And I always kind of felt like I knew my purpose or knew my mission, but I thought, man, what the heck? If it's good enough for Ken Blanchard, I'll give it a try. And, you know, this has evolved over a few years, but in a sentence, you know, I'm all, you know, my mission, my potential, it's all about potential, you know, to provide life-changing hope and knowledge so people can achieve their full potential. That's what I want my life to be about. So boiling it down, I seize on that word potential. And there's a long story I won't bore you with on this episode about, it was actually a seventh grade teacher. Hello, Russ Walker, best teacher ever, who used the word potential with me. I didn't even know what it meant. But that teacher sort of changed my life, and that word and that idea of fulfilling your potential changed my life, you know, almost 40 years ago. And now this is really driving what I do. And what's nice about when you kind of know what your one word is about, and it can change, you can have one word this year and a different word later, but you know whether you've had a good day or not. Are you living your number one value or not? Are you living to your values? So, you know, all the little stuff we stress about or freak out about or get angry about, you know, if we really know what our life is about and we reflect on it sort of daily and like, all right, this is what, if I can help one person, if I could give hope to one person today, it's been a good day. Well, nothing else really matters. His 1% challenge, I mean, it was a doozy because he's saying, figure it out. You know, he's like, imagine you're on your deathbed and you can only utter one word to your grandkids. You know, what would that word be? And my favorite movie is Citizen Kane. So, and I'm sure it's yours too, by the way, because, you know, if it's not, then something's wrong with your movie viewing. But anyway, Citizen Kane is my favorite movie. And of course, it's all about the rosebud moment, his final word, and then the search for what does that word rosebud mean? So, hey, I don't think you're going to get this challenge done in a day, but it's certainly one to go after. And then David Marquet, and I butchered his name. I introduced him on the show as David Marquette. I'm hoping my producer fixed that in post-production, but I don't know if she did or not. David is the author of Turn the Ship Around. So he was a U.S. Navy submarine commander, and his career and life changed when he assumed command for a new sub, and it was a new type of sub he hadn't worked on before, and he was started giving orders to his staff, to his crew, and he gave an order that was impossible, like to set it to do something, you know, mechanically that particular sub couldn't do. And they all just stood there and he didn't know what was going on. And he finally said, like, well, why aren't you doing it? And they said, it can't be done, but they didn't tell him that. And so this aha led him to reinvent his own approach to leadership in the Navy. And he calls it intent-based leadership. And there's three words he empowered all of his crew members up and down. And when they would come and talk to him or ask him a question or something, he would ignore them. He wouldn't even acknowledge their existence until they started a sentence with, I intend to. So instead of them just bringing problems to him for him to solve, instead of them standing there waiting for him to order them to do something, they ran the ship. And if they wanted to make sure that their boss, the commander, knew what was up, they would say, I intend to. And if he thought they were intending to do something stupid or dangerous, he'd let them know. But it was up to them to sort of take the initiative. And he had a funny challenge. And he said, the next time you're at a restaurant, tell the waiter or waitress to just bring you, you know, they get to decide what you're going to eat. So instead of picking something off the menu, let the waiter decide. And it's all about giving up control. And he says, hey, you know, you think that's easy, go ahead and do it. You know, saying you could do it and then actually doing it is a very different thing. And certainly, you know, let your waiter know if you've got some, shellfish allergy or something. I don't want anyone going to the emergency room. I don't want no EpiPen usage or anything. So tell them what your constraints are and then let them bring you whatever meal they think you'll enjoy. And finally, we had Michael Port, former actor, public speaker, great marketing expert. He's the author of Steal the Show. And, you know, he's teaching lessons from acting into, you know, how to present and present well at work. And so I challenged him. We had a great conversation around, well, what about all this authenticity stuff? You know, how do you reconcile being authentic with playing roles, with acting? And he said, listen, we all have multiple dimensions. You know, how I act with my high school friends when I'm hanging out on the weekends is going to be a little different than how I act in the boardroom, you know, on a Wednesday afternoon. But we can tap into the different parts of our authentic self for the big roles in our life. And he challenged us to do something uncomfortable every single day. So, great guest this last week. And I got a question from Amy this week. And Amy emailed, she said, as a busy wife and mom of three little ones, age 7 and under, that's a handful, and running two businesses full time, I am always tired. I want to get back in shape, write a book, learn another language, all while still growing my businesses. Is it too much to expect? So Amy, thanks for the question. And you'll see that only you can decide if you can do all of that or not. But having said that, my big message to people is no, you can't do it all. And people are surprised and disappointed when I say that. Kevin, you know, you're the extreme productivity guru. You wrote the 15 Secrets book. You interviewed 300 high achievers and got all their secrets down. And yes, when you take their secrets, I've had people tell me they've doubled their productivity. They've 10 times their productivity. One CEO told me these secrets gave him 6 more hours in every single day. I thought he was BSing me, and he explained how. So yes, you can do miraculous stuff, but can you really do every single possible thing you can think of all in, you know, the 1440 minutes we have every day? No, you have to choose. So Amy and everyone, here's how you figure it out. Because this extreme productivity, it's about getting more things done, but with less stress and guilt. The fully 50% of what I talk about when it comes to productivity is the emotional side. Because, you know, if I'm on the treadmill doing my health thing, I might be feeling guilty that I'm not spending time with my kids who are downstairs watching TV by themselves. And when I'm with my kids hanging out and playing a game, I might be stressing that I'm not working on that big proposal, that big sales pitch for work, you know, upcoming week. So it's guilt and stress that are the killers. You know, we're guilty that we're not doing something, or we're stressing about some work stuff that we're not getting to. And so here's the system to get a lot done, and then have all that guilt and stress just disappear. So remember the acronym VOTE, V-O-T-E. You're going to vote with your minutes. So Amy and everyone, V is for values. It starts with, you know, what do you care about or value most at this point in your life? It's changeable. O is for outcomes. Okay, so what does success look like? What are the outcomes, things you can see in each of these areas? T is for tasks. So what are the tasks or actions you're going to take to achieve those outcomes? And E is for evaluate. If you really want to stay on your productivity game, you're going to have a system for thinking about time, thinking about your VOT, and hey, how did I do today? How am I doing this week? What's coming up tomorrow? You're evaluating. So here's an example. My V, my values, my core values these days, I've limited them to only 3 things because I feel like for myself, if I have more than 3, everything gets diluted. So I call it my 3 to thrive. It's health, wealth, and relationships. Now, I know a lot of people that would have more than three. They want fun to be value. It sounds weird, but fun is not one of my values right now. I'll have more fun when I'm not in startup mode for my business. I'll have more fun when all my kids have moved out of the house, when they've all gone off to college. It doesn't mean I don't have any fun. I do have fun as part of my relationships and things, but it's not something I, you know, invest my minutes in on its own. For a lot of people, it's faith. You know, faith is very important, and they'll time block, whether it's time to read scripture or to go to church or things. Right now in my life, faith doesn't make my top three. My top three are health, wealth, and relationships. So what about the O is for outcomes? Again, for me, let's say it's health. For myself, it's not about weight. It's about body fat percent, which I think is a more accurate way of you know, measuring health. You know, your health goal might be a cholesterol number or running a marathon, you know, within a certain number of hours. For relationships, again, right now, what does that mean? For myself, it's primarily I'm valuing my relationship with my kids, and I want to be mindful about that. You know, what does a successful outcome look like for me? Well, I want to attend at least half of all of their events, you know, soccer games, school plays, and all of that. With my daughter who's off to college, I want to reach out with a daily touch point, whether that's a Snapchat, you know, snap or a text message or a question or a phone call. And, you know, again, like, can I do it all? Well, look, I would love to be out drinking with my friends all day, every day, or read, you know, 100 novels. I'd love to write 100 novels this year. But no, I cannot do it all. I have to think about what I value most. And right now, it's very limited. There, I will invest time in these other things at another time in life. And there's no judgment. You know, this is what is right for you. You know, for you, maybe a great relationship with your spouse is date night, you know, one night a week. For others, it might be 1 hour a night, you know, when the kids go to bed, you know, whatever it is. For your health goal, do you want to spend 20 minutes a day doing, you know, HIIT training on the treadmill, or is it 1 hour a day in the gym? You have to decide what tasks are going to make health, as an example, look great. You know, how will you feel fulfilled? And when it comes to evaluation, you know, it's, did you do it or not? Did you spend the minutes you allocated? This is voting with your minutes. You know, you allocated 60 minutes today towards health, probably the gym or walk around the block. Did you do it or not? And that's why I say, you know, don't live from your to-do list, live from your calendar. Because when you time block everything, then it's really easy to see if you just look at your calendar. Did I do it or did I not do it? You know, for a while, about a year ago, one of my big values for a time was gratitude. And one of the measures was to send out, on average, one thank you note a day. It's still a practice I like. So that means every month I should be sending out 30 thank you notes. And I would always hand them to my assistant to send out. And then she would track, you know, how many I would get. And she would just tell me at the end of the month, Kevin, you know, you got, you only did 15. That's a 50%. You just failed. You know, that's an F if this was a school. If I, right around Christmas holidays, I was sending a lot of gifts and cards, and I was counting all these as part of my gratitude practice. And I think I got, you know, 80 something percent that month, but I was always evaluating so that I could be mindful of that practice. So Amy, back to your question, you know, you want to be a good mom to three little ones who are under 7. They require a lot of minutes at that age. You know, how many minutes a day or a week is that going to take? What does being a great mom mean to you? Literally time block that on the calendar. You want to be successful in your business. What does that look like? What outcome are you trying to achieve? If you're in real estate, is the outcome you're looking for to double your income this year or to maintain it? You know, are you trying to get one new listing per week or one new listing per month? How many minutes a day will it take to achieve that outcome? Is that 10 minutes of prospecting in the morning, or is it 120 minutes? Only you can answer, you know, these questions. You mentioned learning a language. Do you want to learn, you know, travel Spanish, tourist level Spanish over the next 3 years? Or are you trying to become fluent in Chinese in 10 months, right? So one might take you 5 or 10 minutes a day using the Duolingo app on your phone during lunchtime. The other is going to take, you know, hiring a tutor and carving out 3 hours a day. or more. So you get the idea. We all have 1,440 minutes in a day, 1440. That's it. You want to vote with your minutes. What are the big buckets in your life? Parent, spouse, career, you know, fun, creative expression, writing a book, you know, writing a novel, learning a language. And then imagine like each minute is a dollar bill. You're like voting, you're put or a ticket, and you're putting the tickets in the different buckets. And hopefully sleep is a big one. You know, you should value sleep as part of your health practice. So can you do it all? Only you will know. I mean, I would love to write 3 novels this year, but I'm not, because I've got nonfiction that I value more, that I've got other, you know, forms of expression that I'm going to be focusing on more. I spend a lot of time with my kids. You know, I took 10 years off from being an entrepreneur because my parent value trumped it. And I wanted to spend a lot of time, literally daily, as a single dad, taking them to school, going to all their events, making lunches, dinners, all this stuff. And so for a decade, I wasn't an entrepreneur. I didn't build a big business, but I've put that hat back on because the kids are older. One's off to college. One's going off, you know, one I never see because she's driving now and she's going off to college. You know, my son's off, you know, doesn't need as much daily support. Only you know what the right answer is. There's no, don't let anybody judge you. You have to be satisfied with it yourself. So real quick last point. So productivity is really about energy and focus. You know, again, you allocate your minutes, but then after you do that, how do you maximize each minute? How do you maximize your energy and focus? That's where quality sleep, hydration, slow carb meals, the Pomodoro system, listening to deep focus music, et cetera, all these kinds of tricks and tactics can have a huge impact on what you get out of those minutes. All right, so before we wrap up, don't forget, you can get transcripts. We turn all the podcasts into articles and put them up over at leadx.org. So if you missed a show and you don't want to listen to the full episode, 20, 25 minutes, whatever that is, you can find the transcript at leadx.org. Next week, I'm interviewing a Yale psychologist, a famous top 100 money manager, a top 50 leadership guru, and even a Hollywood filmmaker. I mean, this is a guy who's managing hundreds of people, life and death situations, big egos. It was very interesting talking with him. So that wraps up the wrap-up show. Until Monday, my friends, remember, of course, leadership is influence. Don't be a bystander at work. Don't be a bystander in your own home, in your own family. Lead with intent.